you'd look with me in God's Word tonight, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, the Bible says as we begin our reading in verse number 13. Matthew 7, verse 13, here the last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus is preaching to a group of religious people. He's preaching to his disciples. And he's wanting to make some things clear, and he is very specifically dealing with the matter of eternal life and salvation. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I have to say that verses 21, 22, and 23 are some of the saddest and fear-invoking verses that you can read in the Scripture. Now, I want to just tell you something before we begin this message, that the salvation that I received as a child is a no-so salvation. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life." I'm so glad that I can go to bed at night and wake up in the morning knowing that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That at this very moment, I am the possessor of eternal life because Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the price for my sins on the cross of Calvary. And I have personally received Him by faith as my Savior. I know that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not works. It's not my good deeds. It's not because I'm the preacher. It's because Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins and I've accepted His free gift. I'm saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I want you to know something. You can read over and over and over and over and over again verses 21, 22, and 23, and you do not have to fear a moment coming when you say, Lord, Lord. And He says, depart from me because I never knew you. You don't have to fear that. But I will say, and I will not be guilty of giving anyone a false assurance that they have everlasting life who thinks they might have gotten saved one time, who thinks that things might be right, who hopes, and I'm kind of certain, and I think I got saved one time. I can't remember for sure. I'll not give you a false security. I think I'll do you a great injustice. And Jesus at this day, as He's preaching this group of people, He says, I want you to understand something. It is not religion that gives you everlasting life. It is not the rudiments of a religious form that gives you everlasting life. It is one thing and one thing only. It is faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin and possession of everlasting life. And Jesus looks at this group of religious people, and over again in this sermon, He's been letting them know that their adherence or outward adherence to the law was not sufficient. But they were sinners in need of a Savior. And he says this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, just because you said, Lord, Lord, just because you went through the rudiments and you prayed through your prayer shawl, that doesn't make you righteous and right with God. Just because you said, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I mean, these were folks who had some type of religious experience. They'd got worked up in the flesh once or twice or more. Have we not prophesied in your name? They said, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Satan will put on a show to deceive people. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Just because it has Jesus written on it doesn't mean it came from heaven. And he says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's alarming, isn't it? There's some ways to know that you're on the straight and narrow. There's some ways to know that you do have everlasting life and you can rest in the Lord. And there's some truths that we see here in this passage of Scripture that I hope will be an encouragement and a help to you. The Bible says, as we begin this passage of Scripture, verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. In these first two verses, we see two ways and two destinations. The Bible says in verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Here's what Jesus says. Now look here, guys. Enter in at the straight gate. He says, you're going to have to go the straight way. You're going to have to go the narrow way. He says, enter in at the straight gate. What's the straight gate have to offer? The Bible says in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He says, there's a straight and narrow way. Now, I'll just tell you, modern preachers don't want to talk about straight and narrow. But if Jesus starts talking about straight and narrow, then we, by all means, ought to talk about straight and narrow. Because Christ is the authority, I'm not. The truth of the matter is, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see what Jesus has to say, and we begin to observe the straight and narrow. God doesn't give us prohibitions to hurt us. God gives us prohibitions to help us and guide us and protect us. If God tells you no about something, it's because He has something better for you otherwise. Jesus says, enter into the straight gate. Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to have everlasting life. There's only one way to be born again and go to heaven when you die. It's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, enter at the straight gate, because the straight gate leads to life. He says in contrast, verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He says, there is another way. It's broad. It's broad, he says, but it leads to destruction. If you could choose today life or destruction, which one would you choose? I choose life. Yet the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want to present this truth to you as truth. It's not truth at all, but they want to present this idea to you that broad is how you live. Woohoo! But I'll just tell you something. The broader you live, the shorter you live. And your life is reduced to destruction. It's a lie from the pits of hell. The way is straight. You see, the way to heaven is straight. The way to glorify God is straight. The way to life is straight, and it is narrow. The way is straight and narrow. Folks, I'll let you know something. You have freedom to do what you want. But I'll tell you, you ought to choose the freedom to do what you ought. Do what's right. Do what pleases the Lord. Do what's narrow and straight and right and true and holy and righteous. You see, the straight and narrow, it always leads to life. Do you want to see what happens? If you choose the wide, we choose the wide gate. We choose the wide way, the easy way. And, you know, there's no rules. Rules are always from God with love. Rules are like rules at my house to my children. Sometimes they think you're so mean, Dad, that you wanted me to go to sleep at 10 o'clock. Can you imagine? Or 11 o'clock or whatever it is. It's so mean. But I'm happy to be looking ahead, knowing that tomorrow morning is going to be rough. And tomorrow evening is going to be rougher. And we just make a rule because, you know, it's best. You see, there's a wide gate, and it begins wide, and you do whatever you want to. But I'll just tell you what happens. When you do whatever you want, and you explore and grab hold of your freedom to do whatever you want, the wide gate narrows quickly. Often, that wide gate narrows down to a jail cell. And sadly, often that wide gate narrows down to a coffin. The wages of sin is death. But the narrow gate starts with a few things that are kind of, whew, this isn't the easiest thing I've ever tried to do. And sometimes practicing the narrow way and the straight way, it leads to a little bit of soreness. But you know what happens when you go on the narrow gate? You start the narrow way. You know what it does? It starts narrow, but then it just opens up to freedom. The Bible says that you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Freedom to have peace at night. Freedom to have a family that loves the Lord. Freedom to have your needs provided. Freedom to experience joy and peace and love and the fruits of the Spirit. You see, the narrow way, it starts narrow, it does, but it broadens out to something that is so freeing and wonderful. And the freest people you'll ever meet are people who have determined to live the straight and narrow way and put God's Word as the light of their life. And their lives are lived not in great regret or even death. They lived in the freedom that can only come through faith in Christ. When I read this, I think about my own salvation. And when Jesus saved my soul, it was something that was very serious. It wasn't something broad and easy. It was something straight and narrow. And when Jesus got a hold of my heart, it was serious. I remember I was just a child. I got saved June 3rd, 1990. I was 8 years old. And I passed from death unto life. I didn't know exactly and everything that happened to me when I got saved, but Jesus saved my soul. I remember the weight of the world falling off of my shoulders. I remember the forgiveness of sin that I experienced. I remember the beginning of the fellowship of the Spirit. I remember the beginnings of conviction of sin. And it was tough at times. It was good. It was good. I remember being around folks who were supposed Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, and I didn't like what they had to say. I remember a teacher saying, bring into question the Word of God. And I thought, whoa, if something ain't right about that. And you know what was happening in my little soul, my little heart? The Holy Spirit was making me aware of truth. He was working in my heart. I'll tell you, when I got saved, something changed. It was wonderful. But it wasn't always easy. I remember a state trooper friend of mine that came to a service one Sunday morning, and I was tickled to see him. I didn't really know him at the time. And he came and left, and he came back on Sunday night, which was quite unusual. I was tickled to see him on Sunday night. I didn't get to speak to him. But then on Monday morning, he walks in my office. I said, "Hey, man, what are you doing? Good to see you." He said, "Preacher, I don't know what happened." He said, "But I came here yesterday morning one man, and I left here another man altogether. I don't know what happened." And it's been my great joy to explain to him and show him from the Bible what happened. He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not only did he begin on the straight and narrow, but God, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, has kept him on the straight and narrow and works in his heart and works in our heart and will work in yours. If you've not experienced a change in your life, you need to make sure that you got saved. You see, straight and narrow is how God works. And he treats us like his children. He convicts us of sin. He leads us, guides us, directs us. The way is straight. Oh, it's so sweet to be on the straight and narrow. It's so freeing to be on the straight and narrow. And God does such a mighty work in our hearts on the straight and narrow. Secondly, number one, the way is straight. Number two, the fruit is sweet. The fruit is sweet. Now, Jesus in this context, verse number 15, says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." What word's repeated over and over in this passage of Scripture? I gave you a really good fighting chance to get the answer right. What is it? Fruits. The fruits come at the beginning of the season or the end of the season? When? The end of the season. The apple trees, they're just now getting ready to begin to blossom. I love to work in the apple orchards. We had apple grow in our church in North Carolina. It's just so fascinating. The season is just beginning. The ends of the twigs are beginning to swell. Sometime in the end of August, September, and October, apples will be picked because the harvest comes at the end of the season. If you want some good fruit right now, it's the end of strawberry season in Florida. What's that mean? That means they've already greened up, they've already bloomed, they've already turned red, and they are really good at your local grocery store right now. In just a few weeks, the end of the season for strawberries is going to come in South Carolina. And not long after that, you'll be able to get some good peaches. The end of the season's when the fruit comes. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now here's what the devil likes to do. The devil wants to put on sheep's clothing, and he wants to appear to be something that'll be a blessing to you. In this day, the shepherd often wore sheep's wool as his clothing. And the sheep would recognize the shepherd by his attire. And when sheep see shepherds, if you've been around any sheep at all, when sheep see the shepherd, they think, "He's got food." And they'll drive you nuts, "Bye, bye, bye," and knock you over. You take a bucket out in a sheep pasture and see what happens. You'll make friends fast. The modern version of this passage of Scripture, a wolf carrying a 5-gallon bucket. What they saw was something that they thought would help them. On the outside, it was sheep's clothing. The inside was ravening wolves. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. What did the wolf want to do? They wanted to consume the sheep. What did the sheep think? This is something good for me. How do you determine what is a false prophet? Well, you don't determine what is a false prophet by what he's wearing or the bucket that he's carrying. You determine what is a false prophet by his fruit. What happens at the end of the season? You see, the world has this beautiful way of presenting things as beautiful. But the end of them is rotten. Rotten to the core. When we think about false prophets are anything that gives you a false hope. We can talk about preachers and false prophet preachers, and they're out there, and they look good, and they sound good, and they say stuff like, if God is a God of love, then surely He will prosper you. One of them says, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. That sounds pretty good. But it's a ravenous wolf, just so you know. False prophets, false preachers. There are people who preach a prosperity gospel that's a lie. Tell Peter that if you serve God faithfully, everything will be hunky-dory. You tell Peter that. He was crucified upside down for serving God. The era, the time, the day of faith healing, that ended with the apostles. It was something that God allowed. It was a season that God allowed to convert Jews, and so Jews would have confidence in the Messiah. That ceased with the apostles. God still heals sickness, and I'm thankful He does, but He's not going to use me smacking you on the forehead to do it. That's a lie. It's a false prophet. And the end of that situation, the fruit is not right. I had a lady meet me in the parking lot one day at Boiling Springs Baptist Church. I watched her get out of the car, and it hurt so bad to just watch her. I mean, you ought to have seen it. It was grueling. Oh. And as she got up, she stood up and literally across the parking lot, I heard her knees pop, 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 pop. And she waddled over to me with a big old smile on her face. I was glad to see her. I like people who smile at you first. I said, hey, it's nice to meet you. I'm Cody Sturge. I'm the pastor at the church. Well, it's nice to meet you. I said, what brings you by? She said, well, I just want to tell you what God's done for me. I watched the grimace on her face as she got up. I heard her knees popping and cracking. She said, this last weekend, I attend a faith healing seminar, and God healed me and made my knees whole again. I said, no, He didn't. That's not what I saw. That's not what happened. She was so deceived that she was overlooking the grimace on her face and the popping that would hurt your ears across the parking lot. It reminds me of this story. They're having a faith healing one night, and they set up a curtain. There's a curtain across the platform, and the faith healer had come to town. Woohoo, it's going to be good. And they found a couple folks to bring up on the platform. One guy stood up there. His name was George. George had a hard time talking. And so he wanted to get healed from his speech impediment. So the faith healer said, all right, George, come on. I'm going to move you right back here behind the curtain. And up on this side came another lady, Beverly. Beverly was rolled up in a wheelchair. No, I'm sorry. Beverly came up with crutches. She couldn't hardly walk. She came up on crutches, and the faith healer made a big deal about it. She said, all right, now you step in behind the curtain. So behind the curtain, the two are there, and the faith healer goes on and works the crowd a little bit more, and he says, and we're going to make these people whole. He said, Beverly, throw your crutches across the curtain. Chuck, chuck, she threw them. I can't remember his name. George? Yeah. George! Speak! George said, Beverly fail. I believe that God heals people. But the day of somebody with some apostolic power bringing down healing about you, that's a lie. And I've seen the fruit of it. I've seen the fruit of it. And I pity. You know what happened? That dear lady, I mean, she was full of faith. She was. But that dear lady could not receive truth from the Word of God because she was so caught up with a false prophet. Oh, it's sad. Look at the fruit. There are false prophets in the form of preachers. There are false prophets in the form of things and experiences. I love this verse. What the Bible says in verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You see, what the false prophet wants to teach you and wants you to believe is that you can gather grapes out of thorns. But you can't. Thorns don't produce grapes. He says, I want you to take this thorn and I want you to trust this thorn to become a grape. Alcohol is a thorn that the world presents as a grape. You see, the television ads, they don't show you what really happens. There's been many times as a chaplain for the highway patrol, I've sat in police cars and I've watched grown men weep as we have to take them to jail because they just got a DUI. And I've ran buses in three states and I've watched malnourished children step across their passed out parents and wade through beer cans and liquor bottles to get on a church bus and come to church. If you want to see a commercial, that's what it looks like. You don't get grapes from thorns. You get thorns from thorns. You get hurt from thorns. It's a false prophet. It's a false prophet. You don't get happiness from materialism, from material things. You can't get grapes from thorns. And not all things are bad. But if you think I'm going to get grapes out of that, I'm going to get nurture out of that, I'm going to get nourished, that's a lie. It's a false prophet. It's a false prophet. We eat ourselves in the grave. And that habit doesn't produce happiness. Sin, sexual perversion, you fill in the blank. Thorns don't make grapes. Thorns don't make figs. You're not going to get something good out of something bad. And God's people, you know what we need to do? We need to beware of false prophets. The scripture continues. Even so, verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Beware, if you are a false prophet, if you are somebody that's selling thorns for grapes, if you are somebody who's preaching in error for the glory of flesh and the glory and to bring glory to yourself and deceive people, beware. The Bible says every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And the Bible says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, I want you to know something. The way you can rest and know that you have everlasting life is if you've put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. Has there been a change? Did God save you? We know that we've passed from death into life. And just a reminder, the way is straight. The fruit is sweet. God is faithful. Amen. May God help us as we apply His word.